This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, AfterBuzz TV? We are back with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills panel. We're so excited to be back with you guys after basically a month hiatus of the show. So, very happy to be here. I'm Jane Johnson, and I am joined by the wonderful Ethan Paisley today.
Hi there, guys. So good to be back.
We're so happy to be back, and it is just the two of us. We miss Maite, we miss Laura, but yeah, we got an intimate little vibe today to cover the latest episode 9 of season 10 of our HOBH, baby. We do have the live chat back up and running, just to let you guys know. So very happy that some people are joining us already. We've got a cute little crew there. Sound off if you guys are here. Let each other know we are ready to chat about all things Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. What's up, Doris and Charotera? I hope I'm saying that right. But definitely give us some little messages so that we can get it going. But we had a very eventful episode this week. It did not let us down. Lots going on. We had the aftermath of that explosive barbecue that we're going to dive right into. We also had a lot of medical appointments. We had Kim getting her breast implants removed and Erica, Jane, and Lisa Rinna doing something with their butts, jiggling it around that they made them feel some type of way. So we'll chat about that. I would love to know what they were doing. And we also have Sutton's Capri event at her boutique, which we did have her on our show, and it aired last week, but she kind of teased that we were going to have this fun Capri event. So it was fun to see that play out. And yeah, how are you feeling about this episode, Ethan?
Well, I first want to address a question in the live chat from Ryan B that asks if he should start Beverly Hills since he just finished Potomac. And I say absolutely. Now, absolutely. I wouldn't have said this prior to this episode because I have been consistently underwhelmed by the drama this season. But for some reason, this episode seemed like a resurgence of energy and I was here for it the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because we do know that the second Brandy gets more involved, things are really going to kick off because we've sort of, like you said, just been a little bit underwhelmed waiting for that drama to really spark and get going. And I think once they get to Rome, it's really gonna go firing off. So this was a nice little preview.
Right. And I think distrust has already been built over time for Denise this season. I really feel like at the beginning of the season, you know, we were all guessing who the enemy this season was going to be. There's no question it's Denise. Now that we know the scandal's coming and seeing the way this episode played out, the energy towards her among the other women is so toxic. It's getting to be, I'm getting to be almost kind of tired of it. I'm like, just introduce the Brandy conflict so we can, we can finish this.
I know. And that's the thing. I mean, it's like finish it whichever way it's going to go, which we kind of know how it's going to go, where Denise might disappear from us for a little bit and then come back for the reunion. So who knows? But definitely, yes, Ryan, we want you to get involved from the ground floor of at least season 10 so that we can chat about all things when we keep going through the season. We're about almost halfway through. So Yeah, but let's get started right away with our first topic. We have the aftermath of the barbecue. And that obviously, as we know, was explosive. Denise and Aaron escaped. Lisa Rinna was running after them in that like J-Lo knockoff 2000s dress.
Did you see the Jackie Cox drag queen video? Or did
yes.
Like chat where she's running and she's like, Denise. I was living for that. And I saw that before the episode came out. So I was dying when I was watching it in real time.
It was so incredible. And so after that, we saw all the ladies kind of gather in their tent and sort of debrief from what had happened. And you know what I loved from this moment was that they were being so playful, treating that tent like a stripper pole. And I felt like this is what we've needed this whole time. You know what I mean? Like when Erica Jane brought them to the strip club and some women were giving side eyes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Things like that. It's like,
what was up?
Why are we all going to bed at 10 p.m. in Santa Barbara? Like, give us a little bit of something. And here was when, you know, Reno and even Kyle were going crazy on this poll.
Oh my God.
And I was loving that.
I was loving it too, especially after Denise was like, we're going to get steaks at a strip club. I mean, the hypocrisy, this is just my opinion, but the hypocrisy of her judging these women for being dirty in front of the children and then saying that Teddy's a shit stirrer in front of other children and then going to a strip joint afterwards really isn't helping her case here. And it was so, as you said, refreshing to see them all having a good time and poking fun. This is the catty drama I live for watching this show. And finally they delivered.
Yes, absolutely. And Tanisha G in the chat agrees. She said that moment in the tent was the best.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, my favorite may have been in the previous episode when Lisa Rinna went down the slide with the kids and she was like, ah! And she was just chilling in the bouncy house. That was so funny.
Yeah, just absolutely escaping all of the drama, which isn't very characteristic of Rinna either.
I know.
It seems kind of interesting the way that she's positioning herself, particularly with this Denise drama, because they do have such a rich history together and have been such close friends. And it seems like Denise is upset with Rinna for not sticking up with her more. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like Rinna is really stoking the fire as much as she could if it were someone else. And like before Denise was going to leave the barbecue, she was like, I'll talk with you about this later. And there was sort of that confessional moment of like, you know, why isn't she backing me up? You know, we are friends. Like, I need to talk with her about this off camera. So I was just curious, like, what are your thoughts on that whole dynamic between the two of them, Ethan, especially in this moment of this episode?
To me, this is a pretty clear personality clash between them, because I think Rinna's style is, you know, own it and own your sexuality, be proud of your sexuality, have those conversations. And since Denise seems to be shying away from that, I think Rinna's already expressed that she's not really, she doesn't really get down that way. And this is kind of said and done. So now that Denise keeps like dragging it out, I think Rinna's just like, whatever, like, she doesn't even feel the need to explain herself anymore because Rinna knows who she is and Denise obviously doesn't. And that's why I don't even think Rinna cares about adding fuel to the fire at this point.
Yeah, there is some chat, some talk in the chat about Rinna being a frenemy.
Oh, a frenemy? You
know? Yeah, and Charotera chose, I'm totally saying that wrong, but Charotera chose said, who needs a frenemy when you have lesser Lisa? There's some real shade getting thrown around today. And I love the energy that you guys are bringing in here.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I think Lisa Rinna, though, as a person, I mean, we even hear this later in the episode when she talks about playing Roxy and she's, you know, describing how much she loves fame and her career. And I really think, you know, this show to her and how she's portrayed on the show, she is treating this as a move in her career. She is not necessarily, I don't think, genuine to any of these women since they're interacting in, or not genuine, but she doesn't, that's not her first priority here. Her first priority is creating entertainment and creating her brand and keeping that up so that she can sell QVC. So I don't really notice, I guess, any personal vengeance she has for Denise at this time.
Yeah. And, you know, she has even made comments as in the past, as we know, that she is sort of playing into a character, right, and that someone does need to be stoking the fire, and that she kind of enjoys playing that role a little bit, which I think has gotten her some criticism in the past of like, oh, it's not 100% real. But I think that's what we appreciate her for ultimately, yeah, is being, you know, a little bit of a flamethrower and stirring the pot. And
yeah, a stock character in all the drama, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was fun to see the whole barbecue vibe play out. You know what else is fun is the love that you guys give us and the love that we give you back in return. Ethan, tell them what's up.
You guys, thank you so much for joining in the live chat. You love AfterBuzz TV. AfterBuzz TV loves you. Thank you for chiming in and being part of the conversation. You guys make us laugh and make us happy every week.
Yes. So definitely make sure that if you're listening on podcast, give us five stars. Why was I going to say three? Give us a mediocre rating.
Give us three stars. Yeah. Please. We're humble, right?
We'll take anything.
Give that's us something five Patty stars. Would say. She'd be like, just give us three stars. Only do five if you want.
Teddy is the three-star cast member.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. No, you know what? Give us five-star drama-worthy reviews on podcasts. If you're watching this on YouTube, give us a little like, subscribe for more, and definitely just keep blowing up our chat. It's a beautiful little community in there. People turn up all the way for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills here at AfterBuzz, so... we love seeing your shade, your comments, all of that every single week. So thank you for being a part of this community.
Thank you.
All right. Shall we get into the medical vibes?
Oh my.
We were getting served.
What the hell? And then with the medical vibes, we were also getting really sentimental vibes. Like, I knew about Kyle's mother, but then it took a turn. And then, you know, it just got very intense very quickly.
Half of this episode was at the hospital.
Agreed.
Why didn't we break this up a little bit? You know, they could have gotten their butt done any episode they wanted, but we had like back-to-back trips to these various different doctors, and mostly for vanity. So first, starting with Kyle and Kim heading to the boobie doc, Kim was getting her breast implants removed. And on the way, I can't even speak today. Kyle was worried about getting a little ticket in the car, which I was kind of confused about because she's loaded. So what does it really matter if you get a little
cameras
a little ticket?
Maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'm also confused because like, didn't the cop car pull up next to them and was chasing somebody else? Like, the smoke and mirrors this episode between that and between them Zoom recording their confessionals really.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick moment to discuss the Zoom confessionals because they were so peppered in, you know, like it wasn't all of them. They had some ADR just voicing over a lot of what they would have had in the confessional. But then every so often we'd just be like jolted with someone in a bathroom saying something.
And remember later in the episode when Denise was doing confessional, like there was just a screenshot of like Aaron behind her. I was like, did somebody fall asleep while they were editing this? Like, what's happening?
It was a little Frankenstein together. So I'm truly hoping that they kind of get that under control for the rest of the season. So that, you know, because we've seen that on the other series as well, right? Like Roni just introduced their confessionals and the audio on that is not good either. So I'm hoping they get this figured out because, you know, we have like other people in Hollywood actually producing things on set with, you know, they're taking people's temperatures and getting them tested for COVID. But like, why couldn't we just get a nicely produced confessional from these women with one guy filming and doing audio and them speaking 6 feet apart. Like, why does it?
If anyone's uptight about COVID right now, it's these women.
That's true.
About COVID, I mean, I think we should be, but like, they are going to be so high maintenance when doing confessionals and be like, send the equipment to my mansion. I will do it. My assistant will film it. It'll be good.
We already know that Harry Hamlin was having his daughters wear masks like way before a pandemic even began.
Oh, you know Lisa Rinna. She's a germaphobe. She will
We saw that scene from their athleisure event where they were shooting and the girls were wearing masks and it was like shot in the fall. What did they know? So, you're absolutely right. Definitely these women were not going to risk it for the biscuit just so that we could have a seamless viewing experience. Right. But here we are, you know, I mean, hopefully for the next seasons, they'll get that figured out. But alas. Right. So we land at the doctor's office and we get into kind of a heartfelt moment with Kyle discussing losing her mom to breast cancer, while Kim, who she has had a very documented, tumultuous relationship with, is, you know, on good terms with Kyle in this moment, and she's getting her silicone removed from her tatas. How are we feeling about this, Ethan?
Why did we have to see the tatas? Why did we have to see them? That's how I felt. And then, you know, I mean, I appreciated Kyle being so vulnerable and seeing that side of her. And I understand that it's scary, but like, let's not pretend, you know, they're in a fancy plastic surgeon's office in Beverly Hills and it's Kyle and Kim Richards. Again, these women, I don't think they're going to be, you know, the last on these doctors' priority list. Like if they had COVID, they'd be first in line. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I get it, but I'm also like, okay, like, you know, this is just getting, you know, plastic boobies removed. It happens all the time in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I mean, I understand that it's a touchy subject, but yeah, I mean, it was truly just about the plastic boobies and not anything about cancer. But, you know, I mean, sometimes if you have like bad experiences with doctors, I mean, we know that Kyle has anxiety. So that was definitely fueling this scene and kind of making it into something larger. Yeah. I guess like what I wasn't understanding from this experience is like, if you've already had fake boobs, then why fully take them out? What does it look like if you get that silicone removed and then just don't have it? He said she had enough tissue. It was going to be fine. But like, I'd want to keep them in there. Just a different silicone. No?
But if you keep the old silicone in there.
No. You swap it out for a new one. But I think she's just trying to break the cycle.
Oh, she's just getting it out. Oh. Yeah. She's going to have to wear bras for the rest of her life. They're just going to rip down to her knees.
I know. No trips to the Mondrian pool or the Beverly Hills Hotel pool.
Yeah, exactly.
Surgeon in Beverly Hills. Maybe not with our hearts, but with their scalpels, we trust it.
I do not anybody for doing any work on their body. I think go for it. Do you personally wouldn't do the plastic surgery? Because the idea of something deflating in my body that I can't see and then having it removed, like extracted. I don't know about you guys in the live chat, but that would freak me out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't gotten any plastic surgery personally, but check me in a few years. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. You never know.
Right now, I'm sure that my tatas are looking just like Kim's currently do. And that's with nothing happening so far. Anyway, then we moved on to Erica Jayne and Lisa Rinna getting some butt thing going on. I didn't quite catch what the description of this was. I thought it was going to be cool sculpting, but it was more of like a jackhammer type experience.
It looked like it was just kind of, I mean, getting it nice and firm and compact. Like, it just kind of looked like it was beating her butt in. Like,
yeah,
she said it was a butt lift, but I couldn't really tell by the way the mechanism was working.
Yeah, it looked like something I would, if I had all the money in the world, I would absolutely be there every Tuesday getting this done, you know?
No, it looked like a butt massage is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it looks like fun. And it was funny that I think it was Rinna who made the joke, like, why don't you move that down a little bit lower? Like,
oh yeah.
That was like one hell of a vibrator. But
I'm like, those are the hotels in upstate New York. You don't find those ever hotels.
Oh my God. Yeah, but it was fun. Someone in the chat said, I swear Lisa's butt was having a stroke.
Yeah, or the machine was having a stroke on it. Whatever was
happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
So while this was happening, we were having a fun conversation between the two women about mm-hmm. Chicago, like you mentioned earlier, Ethan, where it was funny that Rinna was kind of giving Erica Jayne advice on the role and really reveling in her previous experience playing Roxy. Do we think that there's a little bit of jealousy going on, or how did you feel about her imparting that knowledge?
If I was Erica Jayne, there would totally be jealousy and fear, but because it's Erica Jayne, I don't think there's any animosity between these two. Like, I think they've mm-hmm. both been in the game long enough to respect each other enough to like have that conversation and there be no tension. Like, I think they just see it as like kind of passing the baton and moving on. But did you sense anything different?
I mean, I definitely felt like Rinna would have loved to be doing this all over again on Broadway. And like, I felt like she was spending so much time loving on the role because she wished it could be her, but that's obvious. You know what I mean? And I think that at the same time, she's giving so much support and so much respect and excitement to Erica Jayne that I don't think it was like in a malicious way. I just think like, you know, she would have done that again in a heartbeat and loved to be doing it because as she was saying, you know, the line, the famous line from, what is it? I love the audience and they love them for loving me and I love them for loving me and we love each other.
Can I just say though, like how refreshing it is to have a celebrity who is open about their fame and their wealth. And like, I find that refreshing. I hate when people try to hide that. Like, I understand being mm-hmm. cool, but like something I love about Erica Jayne and Lisa Rinna is they really do own it. They really do wear their stuff. They drive their cars. And I think that's great. They've worked so hard to earn it. Like Lisa Rinna just being candid about fame and how we all want it. Sure, of course. Like that's so refreshing to me to hear instead of all these celebrities who are like, oh, you know, I hate being in the limelight. It's like, really? Then why are you an actor, you know, or whatever?
Yeah. Especially because, you know, for a reality star in particular, those kind of are the people who have always wanted to be famous. Like some actors truly do just want to act and mm-hmm. love the craft and they recognize that like this is something that comes with it. But many people who do reality, it's for me, I'm a little more wary of someone who's like in reality TV and they're like, I want my life to be private, you know, because that's not what it is. Why, like you would want a certain level of fame to be a reality star. So, and those are the kind of people that we end up like loving to watch and even sometimes hate watching. Like Kim Kardashian knows that she has always been destined to be famous and made it happen, you know? So I like that Lisa Rinna owns that as well and makes it part of her character and her brand and isn't embarrassed about it whatsoever. No,
it's cool to see someone just be on top of their dream, you know, like reach the point they've always dreamed of. I love seeing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So shall we move on to our third topic here?
Sure.
All right. So then we head over to Sutton's Boutique, which as you guys might have watched our episode last week with Sutton, we chatted all about the boutique and, you know, she offered to take us on a spin around straight on over to Alden Drive to that boutique.
Right.
And it's amazing. And she also teased this Capri event. So she threw a party at her boutique. Capri themed, which is serendipitously the same theme as Dorit's room at Buca di Beppo, which I thought there might have been a little more drama over that, but unless I missed something, we were unscathed on that Capri drama. But anyway, at this event, Kyle, Dorit, Teddy, Sutton, and Erica Jane confronted Erin about all of the Denise drama while Denise was in the bathroom. Ethan, give us your thoughts.
Kyle had such a good point here, I thought, when she said that Erin's sort of like Denise's guard dog. Like, none of their husbands want to be at Sutton's boutique. I don't know any straight man who would willingly set aside time to do that. So why is he there? Maybe Erin's gay. I mean, he certainly dresses like it with this tight t-shirt. I mean,
you're the only person who can get away with saying that on our panel.
He could totally be closeted, Jane. Are you kidding?
Yeah, you're just outing him here. You heard it here first.
Uh-oh, come for me, guys. No, but I mean, it really is true. Like, he's there when he doesn't need to be. And this drama, of course, was bound to erupt because they walked out. There was no closure. I thought that what they were saying was perfectly fine. I thought he should have just opened with an apology, gotten that out of the way. See, I think Denise and Erin are onto the drama here. I think they are purposely getting into it.
Yeah, I think so too, because the thing about this series of the franchise in particular is that many of them, most of them, are actors. And even beyond that, like, they're soap actors, you know? And so they know exactly what we want and exactly what to do to really bring this drama and stretch it out. And so when I see the people who are stirring the pot, it's those characters on this show. So it always just kind of makes me be like, this series of the franchise in particular, like, what truly is real and what's a little bit just stoked. Amped up, you know, for our viewing pleasure, because God knows if we didn't have those actors in here, then it would be a boring old snooze fest.
Right. It's funny. Yeah, you have such a good point. Kyle's an actor, Lisa, Erica, all of them. And yeah, I think it's hard to believe that Denise really doesn't want drama when that's all she's talking about on the way to the event. Like, that's all she's talking about as she pulls up to these events. She's like, I really don't want drama. I really don't want drama. I really don't want drama. But then, by putting yourself in that mindset, you're attracting drama because it's what you're anticipating and you're putting out weird mixed signals. So just have the conversation. Like, that was her opportunity at the barbecue to have that conversation, to clear things up. But she didn't. She called Teddy a shitster, which didn't help the matter because, hello, Teddy.
Someone in the chat commented, I totally forgot Teddy was in this episode last night. She's giving us wallflower realness.
Think about this, guys. Teddy is not an actor. Or no, she was. She tried to be, but she's a failed actor.
Oh my God.
Remember, she never booked anything.
She is gorgeous, though. How she funny is. Was it when Sutton was giving Teddy shade on her outfit choices?
That was funny. Remember last episode, she was also shading Dorit's outfit, which I was really surprised by.
How even would you dare to do that? I mean, we saw Dorit planning her closet. Like, the woman has style and money to back it up.
Did you recognize, this is going back in the episode, but did you ever watch like LA Closet Design? And there was that lady from that show.
Oh my God. I mean, of course.
She designed Kris Jenner's closet, Kendall and Kylie. So when I saw her, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. So I always live for the reality TV crossovers.
Oh, me too. Me.
You know, when like Scott Disick and Mauricio are at some real estate party together, I just like salivate.
I know. It's so exciting.
You know, we get the Selling Sunset people in there. It's just like a whole... Yep. Exactly. Thing that I freak out over. But yeah, again, back to Erin, like, I just feel like in the beginning, I was so crushing on Erin and so here for Erin. And now I do feel like I understand where Erica Jane, especially, and all of the women are coming from, in that, you know, I don't think that Denise necessarily needs this like knight in shining armor to jump in and mansplain to these women what they're doing wrong. And Denise, I don't think even really wants that either, because in her confessional, she was like, oh my God, why did I go to the bathroom and leave him alone? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it doesn't really help her image as somebody being accountable. I think that's a big problem I'm having with Denise this season, is she just can't own it. And Aaron, being the knight in shining armor, is kind of a guard between the truth and her hiding it, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like he makes it so that, yeah, exactly. He gets to mansplain and never make her face the truth, which is really ironic because then they have an interpersonal conflict with the Brandy scandal we'll know about more later. And yeah, just a toxic relationship to me.
Right.
Honestly.
Someone in the chat said, what FC? It's only a matter of time before things between Denise and Aaron turn ugly.
Yeah.
And I think you're right about that, what FC, because we have been seeing some different headlines leading mm-hmm. us to believe that marriage might be deteriorating slightly. So
right.
I feel like that is sort of a in real time, hot off the press thing happening that we might not get to see play out on the show per se, but maybe with Brandy in the mix, who knows what we'll get to see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, last season I really liked Denise, and this season I just feel like there's a lot of secrets being kept, and it's probably because she's in a new relationship. And you know, when you're in a relationship, you find out things about yourself, and she's burying those, and it's leading her to become a very insecure person, which I didn't like before. She was so real and honest about her past with Charlie, so it's weird for her to be so defensive about, you know, talking about threesomes and having confrontation and accountability. Like, it's really not a good look.
Yeah. I really didn't like the moment when he was like, look in the mirror and tell me what you see. Like, I don't know what their fights look like, but it just felt so like, I was not a fan of the way he was talking to them. And if he's in fights with Denise with lines like that, I don't know. But he's obviously an upgrade from the other people that she's been with, so
yeah, that's
there's true. That
and it's like, it's nice to see him driving around the kids, and like, that was very sweet, and how
yeah
she's protected. Like, I think that's great. But yeah, don't get your husband involved with your friend drama, right? Like, keep them separate. You don't want to go to bed at night who knows all of your, you know, conflicts and dramas.
Yeah, especially because, you know, I mean, I'm sure she has great friends that are very genuine outside of this group that is like a 4TV drama infused right. group.
Right.
But, you know, you always hope that she's able to keep all of her friendships without him intervening, because we never like the man to isolate us from the outside world.
Right, right.
But yeah, any more thoughts on this event? Erica Jane Salami, we loved that little moment.
I thought
get the sausage, girl.
Uncalled for when Dorit was telling us about her like 10-year relationship with an Italian man, and then meeting PK and like flirting with the guy there. It was just kind of uncomfortable. I don't really think it added anything. It seems like Dorit is still just after season, just trying to like prove how international she is and how fabulous she is. And I'm like, girl, like, you got your show, you have your PR, like, you have your closet. Like, something that annoys me about her, she just never seems satisfied. And I mean, that's a trait of very successful people, right? But like, for me, Dorit gets a little old after a while. I'm like, just, you know, chill out.
I understand where you're coming from, and I'm sure the day will come where Dorit, I'm over it. But I have to disagree, because I think that this added another fun layer to Dorit. I love that she's like basically fluent in Italian. I get off on that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, having that different, more cultured perspective, especially the European vibes, where you just go find a lover and 10 years later you're like fluent in Italian. It made me like Dorit even more. The closet, not so much. But now that you tell me that that's a famous guy from reality TV who does every celebrity's closets, like, I like it again. So she was winning me over this episode, you know. I like her looks, and if she wants to take 3 extra hours to give them to me and be late for all the stuff, then whatever. For me, it adds a fun vibe. And
I love the live chat. Tanisha G says she's trying to prove that her accent isn't fake. Ha ha ha. It's because I speak many languages. That's what it is. That's what I mean. She's trying to like cover for all these weird aspects of her life. And can we also talk about the fact that like getting that closet done is a huge expense and PK's like down with it? Yet there's been all these rumors that they're bankrupt and renting, and I don't know. Her life seems very stressful to me.
Yeah. What about totally. It definitely seems like a lot is going on behind the scenes, and they've got a real spending problem there. So, you know, who knows?
Right.
But if that's the case, then Sutton should really lay off picking on her wardrobe, because, Dorit's just going to go the opposite direction and buy literally everything. So maybe let's save PK's pocketbook. Yeah, for a little moment. Give him a little break. All right. Why don't we break into our fun little special segments?
All right, let's do it. So for those of you guys who are new, every week we do the after show. We play a little game called How Many F's Do I Give? Based on Erica Jameson. How many F's do I give? All right. You guys in the live chat, Jane here, as well as myself, will, based on the moment, tell each other how many F's we give. So 0 F's means you don't give an F. 5 F's means you give a moderate amount of F's. And 10 F's means you give a lot of F's. So first and foremost, I need to hear from everybody. How many F's did you give about the Lisa Rinna run that turned into a meme overnight? Because I gave 10. I just thought it was funny. And her physicality, I think, as an actor and a reality star is like funny. Like she's just always dancing. She's always like, I love when Lisa Rinna is like physical, which sounds weird, but her physical comedy is funny to me.
Yes. I gave 10 F's too, because I also was living for that outfit. It was like the knockoff. What was it? JLo Versace from like mid 2000s. That's what it looked like to me. And as she was running, you know, it was like she was on the beach for some like Dolce & Gabbana light blue commercial, just like no shoes, long legs, tanned body, just wait. Like she knew exactly what she was doing. She didn't give a F if Denise actually left or not. She just wanted to get that run in.
She wanted to get that shot. She knows how to play the game. She really does.
You know, and I'm going to try to recreate that all summer long. Yes. Jean Welsom disagrees. She said 0. Linda agrees with us though and gave us 10. Tanisha said 6 F's. It was hilarious. She's so drama. Tanisha, give it some more. So we got a broad range in the chat. All right.
Exactly. Okay. Next moment. What did you guys think? How many F's did you give about Erica's type? And the fact that Bravo pointed out her type is indeed bald, rich, and old. I have to give 0 F's in terms of just like that being strange or different. Like, I think you can love who you love. You can fall in love with who you fall in love with. Like, I think almost they were like pointing it out and making it distinguished because –